Good morning. It's wonderful to gather with you. A special greeting to all the moms and all who have loved others like mamas. As you take your seats, I've been noting moms and daughters, moms and sons, and you know, a quick note to our children and our youth. You never outgrow making your mama happy on special days like this, all right? I myself am blessed to have my own mama in the pews, so glad that we are all here. I'm Jeremy Africa, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. Whether you're in the pews this morning or you're joining us online, I welcome you on this Mother's Day weekend. As we begin our service and as we live out our commitment to the cross, as being a congregation that is connected, that is respectful, open-minded, with Scripture as our foundation and service in our hearts, I want to highlight some opportunities to connect with the ministries and life of the church. And to begin with, I'll hand things off to Gabrielle Cook-McElvenna, who serves as our music director.
Good morning, church, and happy Mother's Day. I am really excited to do a final invitation to all of you who might have forgotten to go on shopping for mom this week. We are hosting the annual John and Hazel Curry Memorial Concert here on the 16th. We will be hosting a group from Los Angeles, California, the Eagle Rock Gospel Singers, and thanks to our invitation, they have expanded their trip to Michigan to become a tour. So they'll be on tour while they're over on this side of the country, and we are really thankful that they are willing to come and help us with a community gift for the Tri-Cities. I also want to let you know that the Eagle Rock Gospel Singers' mission is to take God's music out into the world. So they tend to do some, what we would consider some regular secular venues out in the world to take God's message out where the people are. So we are excited that they will be here at 7 o'clock on May 16th. This concert is free. There is no free will offering, and it's a good chance to be able to have a fun night with your family, your friends, your mothers, those women in your lives that are important to you. And so we ask you to continue to encourage and continue to invite so that we can have a great turnout for this concert. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabrielle. Next, we're going to turn to Brad Barr, who serves as the chair of our Strategic Leadership Council.
Yeah, good morning, church. First of all, happy Mother's Day to all you amazing mothers out there. So hope you have a special day today. To everything, there is a season, even though spring seems to be taking its own sweet time. And this summer, we will celebrate a new season in the spiritual lives of Pastor Bethany Maciejewski, Reverend Brian Kilpatrick and his family, and of course, our church. On June 14th, we will celebrate Pastor Bethany's 3 years of ministry and service with our church at a reception during fellowship time in the parlor after worship. On July 5th, we will introduce Pastor Brian to the congregation, and on July 12th, we will hold a welcome reception during fellowship time for him and his family as he begins his new appointment as our new Associate Pastor of Discipleship. Please mark your calendars and plan to join us as we celebrate these important milestones in the lives of Pastor Bethany, Pastor Brian, and our church.
Thank you. Thank you, Brad. Thank you for sharing those dates with us. Indeed, we look forward to those seasons coming ahead. Next, I'm going to turn your attention to your bulletin insert. It's a full-page insert. I invite you to make sure that you have one this morning. And I, too, am inviting you to mark your calendars for another special Sunday in the life of Midland First. On July 26th, we will welcome Reverend Rebecca Simon Peter as our guest preacher and teacher for the morning. Some of you might recognize Rebecca's name through the Creating a Culture of Renewal journey that has already impacted leaders and churches across our country, including ours, as we too are enrolled in this program. Rebecca is an author, she's a coach, she's a United Methodist pastor who helps people deepen their faith, strengthen resilience, and learn to believe like Jesus. So during our 10 a.m. worship service, Rebecca will preach a message titled, What If God Still Does Miracles? How a Personal Encounter with Jesus Changed Everything I Thought I Knew About Faith. And then afterwards, following worship, everyone is invited to a lunch and learn from 11:15 to 1:30, focused on developing what Rebecca calls a miracle mindset, learning practical ways to respond to challenges with courage, faith, resilience, and attentiveness to the Holy Spirit. So all this is going to match very well with what we're already doing with our well-being workshops and embracing a growth mindset. Whether you're looking for encouragement, or you're looking for spiritual growth, or practical tools for everyday life, or looking to truly embrace God's miraculous works in our lives and a God-sized dream, we invite you to this day. So again, it's Sunday, July 26th. Please save the date now and plan to be a part of this exciting day. As a church, we will soon be assembling a sign-up list for the Lunch and Learn, but for now, invite you to put this date on your calendar. I know we're throwing a lot at you as we begin our worship time, but want you to note also that two Sundays from now, so Sunday, May 24th, we will celebrate our Remembrance Sunday here at the church, a Sunday wherein we remember our saints and we remember their witness to Jesus Christ, and we receive encouragement in our remembrance to live our faith. That'll be Sunday, May 24th. Invite you to make note of that as we look forward to that special service two Sundays from now. With all that, I'm going to turn your attention to your e-blast later on and during the week. Invite you to see a lot more of what is happening here at Midland First. We'll be singing My Hope Is Built, and you'll find this on page 368 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you.
Thank you. today. Are you good? Yeah. I'm good today. So today we're gonna kind of touch on, which is gonna lead us into Mother's Day, we're gonna touch on John 14, 15 through 21. And our memory verse for today, actually we've got a couple because of being Mother's Day, but if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's from John 14, 15. So with Mother's Day, we're gonna talk about some superheroes. Does anybody know who a superhero is?
I'm holding one.
You're holding a superhero. Wow. How about if I told you everybody lives with somebody that's a superhero? Your mom. You are right. Good job, Aria. Or it could be what? Could it be? It could be love. But what else could it? Could it be, Katie? It doesn't have to be a mom. It can be anybody that's a caregiver. It could be a teacher. It could be a coach, a soccer coach. It could be your, the person who helped you with the chimes today, right? Your leader of your music. So anyway, we just want to recognize them, and we're going to do a couple crafts, and we're going to do a couple different things today as far as helping the Friendship Luncheon do some bags for Mother's Day. All right, are we ready to close it so we can get off? Because we got a lot to do today. Oh, wait, prayer first, girls. Come back over here. Thank you. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our mothers and our fathers too, and all those who lead us and all those who guide us with your tender, loving care. May you help us to have a fun and exciting Bible school and help us to honor all those special people in our lives this week. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. All right, let's go to Sunday school.
Those who will be serving on a mission trip to Midwest Mission Distribution Center, I invite you to join me for a moment here at the front. May 11th through the 16th, and we'll be in Pawnee, Illinois. But for more, I'm going to invite Jerry to share a little bit more about the trip.
My name's Jerry Anderson, and I'm representing our missions team. And I'm very excited to tell you about our next mission trip that our church is supporting. On Tuesday, 12 of us, both from the committee and from the church at large, will be traveling to Pawnee, Illinois, to volunteer our time at Midwest Distribution Center. For those not familiar with the center, it's a wonderful and very efficiently run place. Their mission statement says, bringing the hearts and hands of God's people together to transform resources into humanitarian relief. This is done through many areas, and we'll get to volunteer in a lot of these areas depending on what the needs are at the time. Some of these are disaster relief, packing flood buckets that I'm sure everyone is familiar with, in the health, assembling layette kits, feminine hygiene kits, personal dignity kits, birthing kits, also going through donated medical supplies. And our church is familiar with this organization in that they sponsor our rice packing event every year. In education, they take donated bleacher wood from schools or wherever bleacher wood is, and they cut it down, revarnish it, drill it, assemble it into desks that are then shipped to places in schools that need desks. A heartwarming picture that I always liked at the mission is a bunch of Honduran military strapping them to their backs and carting them up the mountains to the schools, which is pretty cool. They support microbusinesses. They refurbish old sewing machines. Oddly enough, that the sewing machines they want most are the ones that are non-electric for those areas of the world that are non-electric. If you have an old sewing machine that you want to get rid of, we're leaving Tuesday. You can dump it on my front porch if you want me to take it. Not a big one. They take billboard signs that they're made out of vinyl, so they can use them as shelters when people need just a tarp to go under. They have a bicycle shop where they refurbish old bicycles that are donated, because sometimes this is somebody's primary form of transportation. They take firefighting expired equipment, because some people are fighting fires, some people in the world are fighting fires in their t-shirts and shorts, which is never a good idea. They make on big looms sleeping mats out of like plastic bags, and they turn out to be about an inch thick and comfier than the ground. I know I've missed a lot, but you get the point. They do a lot, and they're very organized. The last statistics we have is in 2024, they sent $6.3 million worth of supplies they shipped worldwide. I went there 2 years ago, and my big takeaway is they don't just, like, there's a disaster in the world and we just send stuff randomly. They don't do that. They have boots on the ground that work with the people in the affected areas who give them a specific list of, this is what I need. They go to the Midwest Mission and say, this is exactly what I need, so there's no waste. They're getting exactly what they need. And the last thing is, I'm sure I represent the group when I say we are humbled to represent First United in being the hands and feet of Christ this next week.
Thank you, Jerry. It's a perfect handoff, because I'm going to throw all of you for a loop, because we haven't discussed this. And, you know, I've had an opportunity to be on mission trip before, and I've always learned it's good to be prepared for the unexpected. So we're going to start with that today. You know, typically we pray for you as a mission team and those who are going, the names are on the slide, by having you up front. But I'm going to have you return to your pews, okay? So I invite you to return to your pews. And when you get back to your pews, if you'll remain standing. Now, Marilyn, I know you were headed to Sunday school, so I invite you to stand with Jan. But the reason I'm doing this is because we are praying for more than just safe travels. Now, safe travels matters. We are certainly at our forefront. But as Jerry just mentioned, we are sending these individuals here in the sanctuary who are standing, and those whose names are on the slide before you, we are sending them as an extension of us, as the church. And so I'm going to invite you to grab the hands of someone next to you. And in fact, you might grab the hands of somebody next to you in the pews, because in extending them as an extension of us, what we are sending them to do is to do the work of Jesus Christ. That in assembling buckets of items in a flood, we want that bucket to represent the one who calms the storms. In assembling medical items in a kit, we want that kit to be the healing presence of Jesus Christ. In assembling a desk for a student, we are inviting the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ into their world through their education. And so I invite you to take the hand of somebody next to you as we pray God's blessings upon those we send. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the opportunity that you give us to be your hands and your feet in this world. We do send this team, Lord, asking for their safe travels and for the many blessings that come in the times in between, simply to enjoy one another. But we also pray, O Lord, that they would go as an extension of this church, and most of all, that they would go as an extension of your God-sized miracles and grace. We pray that every item that they touch, every action that they do, will be done in your name, and that it will do a work even as you promised, a work greater than you had done yourself. We pray this all in your very name, Jesus. Amen.
Sorrow.
As we continue in worship, we take the time to share our gifts and our tithes and offerings to God. As we share in this time, we ask that you take the red friendship pads. Please let us know that you are here with us. This is a way that we stay connected to one another. If you're online with us, invite you to wave hello to us in the comment section as you join us through the live stream. If you're a guest this morning, we simply invite you to sit back and to receive God's blessings in your life. And to the friends and members of the church, we thank you for your ongoing support of the church and our ministry in our community. Let us continue to delight in giving back to our God. Would the ushers please come forward? Almighty God, we pray that you would take our gifts, our offering, our tithes that we offer in these plates and that we offer in our lives, that others might know of the unbreakable hope that you have given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes first from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 22, and I'm reading today from the New Living Translation. Now, who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as your Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Remember, it's better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing what is wrong. Christ suffered for our sins once and for all. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. So he went and preached to the spirits in prison, those who disobeyed God long ago when God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat. Only 8 people were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. And that water is a picture of baptism, which now saves you not by removing dirt from your body, but as a response to God from a clear conscience. It is effective because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now Christ has gone to heaven. He is seated in the place of honor next to God, and all the angels and authorities and powers accept his authority. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Help me out for a moment. Humpty Dumpty, Humpty Dumpty, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty. There are various theories as to who this Humpty Dumpty is. As some say, this is a reference to King Richard III, who's often depicted in history as being humpback. Others speculate that Humpty Dumpty alludes to a siege engine. And unless you're a study of history, you might not know, but a siege engine is a battering ram-like weapon used in the 17th century. All the while, others say that the true identity of this character has to do with a large cannon that once protected the city walls of Colchester, England. Well, whatever the case may be, we know one thing for sure, right? That all the king's men's and his horses, they couldn't put Humpty back together again. If we're honest, most of us know this feeling of wondering at times whether life's pieces can really be put back together again. There's such a time or season come to mind for you when despite all effort, there was no putting things together again. Those times when hope is lost, when everything that could or would make a difference is beyond your grasp, or when the brokenness of our world brings real suffering to your doorstep. Well, what then? Is there such a thing as an unbreakable hope? Our Bible passage for today definitively argues yes, but only if our hope rests in something greater than us or our circumstances. Of course, this is hardly the first time this question has been asked, if there's such a hope. The question of what we are to do in the face of suffering as followers of Jesus Christ, or even as those who are sent by God to be God's light in the world. In fact, the Apostle Peter touches on this question in a letter he wrote largely to a group of non-Jewish believers situated in several Roman provinces. A letter he wrote around 30 years after Jesus died. These believers were located in Asia Minor, or what is now presently modern-day Turkey. See, their faith, the faith of the believers that Peter is writing to, their faith in Christ made them a stranger, made them even a foreigner in their own land, because they no longer adhered to the same social customs or morals as their non-believing neighbors and friends. They brought being ostracized upon themselves by believing in Christ. By believing in the resurrection, they brought being ostracized upon themselves. In other words, they brought on being insulted and being rejected and being abused and even being shamed. Perhaps they too, with this on their shoulders, struggled with whether there was such thing as this unbreakable hope. The fact is, the Christian life is not immune to suffering. You don't need me to say that this morning, do you? Faith in Christ does not bring immunity to life's disappointments, our life's trials and tribulations, its hardships and losses, its illnesses or deaths. So how do we respond? How do we respond when all the king's horses and men are not enough? Because sooner or later, in some fashion or another, we are reminded it's not so much a matter if we will encounter such times, if we will face such suffering, but when. In the face of similar hardship and suffering, the Apostle Peter responds in verse 15, "Don't worry or be afraid. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it." Peter is suggesting two things here. First, as those who take on the name of Christ, as those who take on Christ as Lord of our life, we are to be a people of hope. And not just any hope, not a Pollyannish hope that falls short of acknowledging life's realities, nor is this a boastful hope which brags about our own abilities or merits or even perseverance. Instead, Peter refers to our hope in 1 Peter chapter 1 as a living hope. The kind of hope that is alive. The kind of hope that is anchored in something other than ourselves or our circumstances. And not only are we to hold on to this kind of hope, we are also called to be ready. Ready with this hope. Ready to give an account for this sort of hope always. And for the Apostle Peter in chapter 3, verse 22, the way in which he accounts for this hope, this unbreakable hope, is this. Now Christ has gone to heaven. He is seated in the place of honor next to God. And all the angels and authorities and powers accept his authority. See, for Peter, hope doesn't rest in circumstances. Nor does hope have anything to do with what we can bring to the proverbial table. Instead, the hope that he knows, the very hope that we are called to lead into, rests on what Christ has already done for us. See, God sent his only begotten Son so that all who believe in him may have eternal life. But instead of welcoming this gift in our humanity and in being human, we made Christ Jesus to suffer, yes? We made him to suffer even to the point of death on a cross. And even still with this, God was able to take the very worst of our brokenness to give us the very best of God's grace. And in knowing this, we know that today, at this very moment, Christ is seated to the right hand of God the Father. And having been lifted, having been exalted to heaven, Christ, as Eugene Peterson puts it in his paraphrase of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22, Christ has the last word on everything and everyone, from angels to armies, and what he says goes. See, that's our hope. And that's an unbreakable hope. This is the hope and mercy that God offers us new every morning. It is ours in good times. It is there for us in bad times. And it is with us in all the times in between. Indeed, because he lives, we can face what? We can face tomorrow. No matter what. I recently shared a conversation about suffering with a group. And we explored what it would look like to share compassion. This idea of sharing one's suffering. Or even of sitting with another in their suffering. And I appreciated the group's reflection on what compassion in this context looks like. That this compassion involves listening. Simply being with an individual and avoiding offering easy answers. That compassion, or sitting with somebody in their suffering, is rooted in love, as is so much of what we do as those who are called and sent to bear God's light. The group also shared that this compassion is best served up when we are in community, when we're connected, when we're walking alongside one another in times of celebration and of joy, and in times of trial and loss. Reflecting on this conversation and with this passage from 1 Peter chapter 3, I would add this. That compassion in this instance, when one is facing suffering, and when one is in despair, that compassion in this instance has a measure of hope. Not a Pollyannish hope. Not a bury your head in the sand hope. Not a boastful hope, not one that is overly confident, but instead a hope that is gentle and that is respectful and that is anchored every bit in what Christ has already done for us. Because when we anchor our hope in Christ, suffering no longer has the final word. And as far as all the king's horses and all the king's men, as far as they are concerned, we can only wish that they too will realize that there are no true Humpty Dumpties. Amen? Amen. I invite us to join one another in prayer as we share this unbreakable hope. Let us pray. God, you are so good. For each and every morning we wake up to your mercies that are new for us. And you are so good that you sent Jesus into our world. And brought to us an unbreakable hope. A hope that we could not break, even in the depths of our brokenness. But a hope that endures. A hope that is both gentle and respectful. A hope that is real. And Lord, as the church today, we can easily imagine that within your sanctuary, that within our community, that even in our nation and world, there are people this morning who might question whether there is such thing as an unbreakable hope. And even on the joyful occasion of Mother's Day, we are mindful that this day might bring heavy hurts. Whether it's the desire to be a mom that is unrealized, or a relationship that falls short of presenting this hope. Or perhaps it even brings to mind the loss of a mother or one who loved us like a mom. And so to all of us in this sanctuary, to all of us in our homes and all of us in this world today, that are walking a path that bring us to that question, if there is such a hope that is unbreakable. Through your word, through your Holy Spirit, through your people that you send, send us your hope. Send us your living hope. Send us your life-changing hope. We ask of this and pray of this with all the confidence of your people. As we pray the prayer that Jesus has taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we close our time in worship, I invite us to stand for our closing hymn, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. This will be on the screen in front of you and also on page 430 of the hymnal. Please stand. Thank you. this morning. Our children are by the exits of the church. I want to bless all the women of the church, believing that you have shared this kind of hope in somebody's life, life-changing love in somebody's life. And so please receive a flower from our children as a gift from our church. To all the women, men, our day will come. You know, it's easy on a Sunday morning here in Midland, Michigan, where the sun is shining and spring is blooming, to think that life is always filled with hope. But we just have to remember and think back to Jerry sharing. And know that there are storms in people's lives where there's utter chaos. And a bucket will bring hope. That there are fires to be fought. And where true equipment brings hope. And in each of our lives, we have these instances where, yes, it seems as if there is no hope. But what, because of what God has done and what because of what Christ has already done for us, we have an unbreakable hope. And we send it out in all sorts of ways. Through missions teams, through a church that is connected, respectful, open-minded, faithful to Scripture, and with service in our heart. And so as we go out on this day and as we go out into this week, may we find a way to be that living hope for somebody around us we know or those we might never meet. Amen. Amen. Amen.